Once again for the Bears at the Green Bay 36. Shotgun formation, setbacks left and right. Slot left, Booker wide right. Snap is fumbled by Orton. And it's loose, and it's scooped up on the play by the Packers. And heading to the house all the way as Hunter sets down Green Bay. The dagger!
From our studios in Inwood, Manhattan, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Cheesehead Nation's latest edition of Packer Transplants. I'm Aaron Negler, and with me, as always, is my partner here at Cheesehead TV, Mr. Corey Banky. And of course, Cheesehead Nation would not be complete without Brian Caravu working fervently behind the scenes, on the live blog, etc. So big thanks to Brian. Why don't you tell the people what's on tap tonight, Corey?
Tonight, we'll be speaking live with Tom Pelissero, the assistant sports editor at the Green Bay Press-Gazette. We'll cover the final roster, take a look at the opening night matchup with the Bears, and cover all things Packers.
All things Packers.
So let's get started.
Why don't we start with the cut down to the 53? It dominated the news over the weekend, holiday though it was. Diehards don't take holidays. I got to say, biggest surprise, I think everybody will agree, Brian Brohm, the big cut.
Ouch.
Big put on the practice squad.
Lucky to get on the practice squad. I think a lot of people thought he might get picked up.
Yeah, I guess. I guess lucky is a term you got to define for yourself. my thinking is that, and the reason I didn't have him on my final 53, those of you who reach his head TV religiously know, I said I would cut him. I'm glad Thompson felt the same way. I think Thompson was saying, look, if someone else picks him up, great. If not, we'll give him another year to mature, see what happens at camp next year, and then all bets are off. Although, I think there's a good chance they may not even bring him back next year. I think there's a chance they draft a quarterback next year and say goodbye to Brian. But, you know, be that as it may.
I think you got to give the guy some time.
I understand. You know, I give a guy a couple years.
I think you can make statistical analysis. Of course, I have no statistical analysis
to back
any of this up. But, you know, there's quarterbacks in this league, the Kurt Warners, if you will, of the world, who they're late bloomers, you know?
I hear you.
And quarterbacks.
Well, look at Rich Gannon.
Hey, and we didn't even give the guy 3 years. So now he gets some time to develop. And
I wrote as much a couple days ago. Yeah, I agree. Although, I do think Thompson was thinking, hey, if someone takes him, he's not my problem anymore. But, you know, that's just a hunch I'll never have verified.
And there you go.
The other big surprise, and I wrote about this on the day of the cuts, is Anthony Smith. Just last week, I was talking about how he might be making a move for Bigby's job. Not so much again, apparently. I got to say, I was very surprised. In fact, I didn't know about it until Corey called me. And I was keeping track of everything. And then, you know, family stuff takes over and I'm all over the yard. And then all of a sudden I get this call from Corey. Oh yeah. And this and that and the other thing. Oh yeah. And they cut Anthony Smith. Qua? I was shocked.
You got to figure,
that word out there, you know, lightly.
You got to figure that Ted Thompson knew he had Derek Martin in his back pocket at some point, and he must've known that Baltimore deal is going to happen.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. And the fact that he got anything for Tony Mall is a feather in Thompson's cap. But, you know, as I've said to a few people this week, I just don't understand how Rouse makes this team over Smith. I understand Smith is inconsistent. He may have been prone to, dropping his responsibilities every once in a while, maybe leaving his area to try and go make a play. Maybe he got exposed every once in a while. But I just don't see how his potential and his upside can be just discarded in place of Aaron Rouse, who has made plays. He made the big play against Manning last year, obviously. But he just hasn't shown any development, any forward progress. Whereas with Smith, I just would have liked to have seen him grow in Capers' scheme. I mean, he was definitely showing that he had ball hawk skills, that he was not afraid to tackle. Unlike some of the guys in the defensive backfield. So, I don't know. Like I said, I was shocked.
I was a little bit shocked, but at the same time, like, there's a lot we don't know about Anthony Smith.
No, that's true.
You know, and maybe we'll have to ask Mr. Pelissero.
I think we will.
You know, was Anthony Smith some kind of locker room cancer that we don't know about?
Well, you know, that's the thing, is that...
People say not.
People say no.
But you know what? Even reporters who are in the locker room,
right,
quote unquote, in the locker room.
During media time.
Yeah, exactly. During media time when everybody knows they're in there.
Right.
They know about as much as we do. Well, they know that much more.
Yeah, they know more. Just because they have access.
They know more, but at the same time, you don't know, like, if a dude's a cancer necessarily.
Probably not. Although you can get a good feel.
And,
I think,
like, you know, in film, was the guy a risk taker? And
that's the thing.
Did one of the coaches see something in Anthony Smith where he's like, dude, this guy takes 80% too many risks and 20% not, you know?
Right, assignment, sure. Like, how many times does he weigh it?
We don't know that.
I hear you. And that's the thing. You can't tell without the film, and you can't see the coach's film. So,
you know who does know that, though?
Who's that?
Brian Caravu.
Brian Caravu. What does Brian Caravu know?
He thinks that the Packers made a mistake.
He did. And he wrote as much
in two days. He gave it 2 days to call it a mistake of a move.
Well, to be fair,
that's very un-Railbird Central-like.
It is. I think we're rubbing off on Brian. but to be fair, I wrote that I thought it was a mistake the day it happened. I could be wrong.
His headline is, it's a mistake.
It's true. That's okay. Bold and blaring. Okay. So, Brian, I hope you're backing that up because you'll be on the program later.
Oh, you know it. Well, it's not about later. Well, you know what's going to happen is Sutton and Anthony Smith are going to be like the greatest safety and running back ever in the history of the NFL.
Ever.
And Brian Caravu will be right, as he normally is.
As he normally is. We've obviously let go of Barry Sanders and Ronnie Lott, and now we're just going to rue the day.
You know, and we took Tony Mandrich instead of Troy Aikman. Awesome.
Yeah, and Barry Sanders, speaking of.
There you go.
Oh, goodness. All right, and the other surprising thing, I guess it was a surprise. I think just because everyone was like, oh, no, they'll keep the same five. They'll keep the same five. I mean, that's all you heard all summer long was Brett Swain over Ruvell Martin.
Yeah.
You know, I guess you could put that under a surprise, but not terribly.
Yeah, not when you look at Ted Thompson. I mean,
exactly.
The man has shown that if you're young and you got more potential than the guy behind you who might be like 1 year younger than you or 2 years,
right.
I'm going to take the young.
Well, that's the thing, and they're so set at that position. So I can't really say I was shocked by it. It is sad for Aaron Rodgers since that was his mate.
I'm going to make a bold prediction this year.
What's that?
Okay. Jordy Nelson.
Uh-oh.
Jordy Nelson.
Yeah.
Is going to be James Jones this year for the number 3, I'm telling you.
I think you already made that prediction. And I got to say, I probably agree with you.
Well, I'm making it again.
Part.
And all I think as far as like receptions and yards,
yeah,
he may compete for that 2 spot in numbers, in stats.
You shut your mouth.
But that's just because.
You shut your mouth.
That's just because.
You are not hating on Double D.
I'm not hating. I'm saying, no, Double D is going to be the number 1 this year.
Over Jennings?
Yes. 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 He's more elusive.
Whoa.
Yes. Yes.
Whoa.
Okay.
Double D is going to be the number 1 receiver for the Packers.
This is how.
That's what you're telling me.
No. This is how sick the
receiver. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you're recording this.
Well, you just.
Oh wait, we are.
It's being
never
recorded.
Mind.
Unfortunately.
I know.
But not for those reasons. No. Just listen to me. Okay?
I'm listening. I'm open mind.
I'm saying that all 3 guys are going to have over 1,000.
What?
You know what I'm saying?
What's going to be like Arizona last year?
Yeah. Let's do it.
Oh, my goodness. Really?
Let's do it.
You're throwing that gauntlet down right now, here. Cheesehead Nation, live.
Let's just make it happen.
Before the season starts.
I want it to happen.
All right. You heard it here, ladies and gentlemen.
You know what happened? Here's the problem.
Okay.
I was watching this new Aaron Rodgers highlight we have on Packer Video.
And that did it.
It's ridiculous. It's so ridiculous. And, like, Jordy Nelson is open in, like, every play. And Greg Jennings, like, it'll be just like that during the season. It's all the plays where, like, they're basically so wide open, it's ridiculous. And so I saw him, and I was like, that's going to happen. I want it to.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that's brilliant. Oh, I think we should let people know that we do this all on the fly. So Corey could just go back and, totally discount all of this.
I could edit that out.
You could edit it
out. No, I can edit it out of the podcast, but not the video.
Right. But, you know, moving on. We got 3 fullbacks being kept.
Did we find out the answer to that?
You know, let me check my Twitter.
I have this little problem.
Put up Twitter.
Aaron makes this whole thing about how no team has ever taken 3 fullbacks or
kept 3 fullbacks on the final roster.
Okay.
On the final 53.
But I'm saying, is there a team in the NFL this year that has 3 fullbacks on their roster after cuts? No one can answer this question for me. So the first person that can answer that question definitively gets a Cheesehead TV football.
All right. My friend Dave Goldberg, AP writer for
Dave Goldberg won't get a Cheesehead TV football.
I know, but he's a good guy.
Okay.
He writes for the AP. Been writing for a long time. He's a Hall of Fame selector. Says,
well, there you go.
How modern? like 50 to 55 LA Rams, fullback was leading rusher in the NFL. That may be true, but did the LA Rams have three fullbacks? That's my question.
I want to know the answer to this.
We'll find it.
Because I feel like there's a team in the NFL that's doing it. And, you know, I'm probably wrong, but no one knows the answer. And you know what? I'm so sick of like espousing things that I don't have statistical analysis for.
Like you did before.
What? What did I say before?
I don't know. Remember? You said something about you know.
Greg Jennings had over 1,000 yards.
Right.
Donald Driver had over 1,000 yards.
Right.
Jordy Nelson had like 600 or something.
Yeah, right. I hear you.
So okay, so he could get 400 more yards.
No, I know. It was before that. Anyway, you'll see when you go back and look at
I'll see how stupid I was.
Exactly.
I do that all the time.
So three fullbacks. It's surprising.
It is surprising.
And I got to say, I'll be shocked if all three are, you know, active on game day. Although I guess Quinn Johnson could play some special teams, but they haven't been using him there. So.
You know, you draft this much, guy, anyway. You draft a beast. You know, you've been
keep the beast.
Yeah, you've been dealing with fullbacks who aren't even fullbacks. I mean, Kuhn is, but you deal with guys, you convert guys from linebacker, and finally you draft a guy that actually is a fullback. You got to keep him on the roster.
Yeah, no, but that's the thing. Like I kept reading about, you know, beat guys saying like, oh, they could cut Tom Silverstein the day before cutdowns was like they could possibly cut Quinn Johnson. There's no way they're cutting Quinn Johnson.
No,
I suppose technically, yeah. It's Ted Thompson. Anybody could be cut.
If he would have been terrible, but he wasn't terrible.
No, and he was improving as the camp went on, so I don't see that as a candidate for cutting. And then, we touched on it earlier, but the Tony Moll trade. Tony Moll for Derek Martin.
There you go.
The cornerback/safety with a questionable past.
Which is why we got rid of Anthony Smith.
I guess. But, hey, look, dude, there's like lines on your camera. Anyway, we're live. We do it all live here, dude. What was it? Tony Moll. He got something for Tony Moll. Ladies and gentlemen, Ted Thompson traded Tony Moll. Remember all those jokes that people made before cut down day about if you can get anything for Tony Moll, blah, 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 blah. I'll give him a wagon and a piece of chewing gum. Like, oh my gosh, he got something for Tony Moll. Can we all shut up about Ted Thompson for a while? He got something for Tony Moll. That's impressive. And the last surprise slash, you know, I guess news item out of the cuts is Sutton released and didn't make it through the waivers. No. Carolina claimed him. And interestingly enough, Carolina was the only team that put a claim in on him.
Well, you know, I had some notes here.
Notes, ladies and gentlemen.
I had some notes.
Corey's got notes.
I made some notes.
Cats and dogs.
We
living together.
We only have one really special guest. We have two really
Mass
special
hysteria.
Guests. But I didn't have to make animations for our other guests like I normally do. So I had some time to do some research.
Just calls for a drink.
Actually, I didn't do any research. I was intrigued about the fact that Ted Thompson did a little gambling this weekend.
He sure did.
Okay?
He
gambled. And you know what? He came out. Pretty good.
Like, hey, for Vegas, he'd be way ahead.
He gambled on Obizior.
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
He gambled on Brome.
We gotta get him on the show.
Yes, we do.
All right.
He gambled on Brome.
Yes, he did.
He gambled on Sutton.
He did.
And 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
No, it really ain't. And and Lansana. He gambled on Lansana.
But Lansana. Bye-bye.
I know, exactly.
Bye-bye.
Lansana, who we kept instead of Tracy White. And let me just say right now, Tracy White was greatly overrated by Packer fandom. Yes, he was our leading special teams player. But I can show you a ton of clips from last year before he was let go where he was not so special. So, you know.
There you go.
I mean, maybe it might have been the product of everyone else around him sucking, but I highly doubt it. So, yeah, Sutton being released. And like you so eloquently pointed out, our friend Brian over at Railbird, not taking the Sutton release too well.
Wait, what was the headline? I think the headline was
Sutton and Smith mistake.
More
importantly,
Mike McCarthy makes mistake on Sutton and Smith.
More importantly than that, the headline last week of the Packers will keep 4 halfbacks. Somehow, I think that's fueling the declaration of how much of a mistake this was.
Wow. Well, you know what? When you go out on a limb. Sometimes you got to hold on for dear life and just, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Lord knows I've been there.
Speaking of going out on a limb, asking you, you made a pretty, your 53 was pretty good. What, were you off 3 guys?
It was good. I was off a couple guys.
You were off Joe Porter.
Really right. I haven't really looked.
But you know what? I wanted Joe Porter, Dane Randolph.
You did, of course.
I wanted them
they
to
were
make
on the show.
Team. I'm excited about Jarius Wynn.
He's on there.
I'm very excited
that
about Jarius Wynn.
That kid is a beast. I'm sorry. I watched him the last 2 weeks. I went back and rewatched just him in the Cardinals game and the Tennessee game. That kid's the real deal.
I'm excited.
And he's only going to get better.
He's going to get some sacks this year, I think.
I think so. I really do.
They're going to bring, him in as a little spy on third down.
He's going to hurt somebody. I want some.
Maybe they'll bring him in as a why is he in the linebacker spot?
Hey, they lined up Jenkins in a 2-point stance.
There you
Anything's possible.
Ooh.
If Big Sexy can stand up, I'm ready for anybody to stand up.
I have to say I'm a little scared of Big Sexy in coverage.
Oh, he's never going to cover.
I know. Maybe on a zone blitz. It is Dom Capers here.
It is Dom Capers.
The man didn't create the zone blitz, but...
He helped create it.
He helped create it.
And he had B.J. Raji drop back in his first ever pro snap. So anything is possible.
Speaking of, do we think B.J. Raji is going to play in the first game this year?
I'm going to reserve that for Mr. Pelissero, who has probably a better knowledge than we do.
We've got question number two that we'll probably forget by the time we get to that segment.
That's why I write him down.
Nice. I like that. I like writing them down.
But that segues nicely into the next topic on our script. Corey.
I'm not done with Brian Caribou here.
Brian, I'm going to the woodshed tonight, son. I'm sorry. I can't stop him. He's off the leash.
I mean, I'm just surprised. I've been following Railbird Central for a long time.
I know. We were so excited to have him as our first guest.
Oh, very much so.
Like, we were geeked up to have Brian
Caribou. I remember doing podcasts 2 years ago,
and
talking to Aaron and being like, wow, what if we got Brian Caribou at Railbird and he would call in our show? And hey, here we are doing it. But, Brian, mistake in one day. In one day, it's a mistake? It's a mistake?
Apparently.
Seriously?
Well, that's how you make your mark. But you say this is a mistake.
But another thing on the 53. Wait, Rob Domofsky, okay?
Right.
Mr. Tom Pelissero, who's going to be on tonight.
We'll be on later.
And Greg Bedard.
Right. And Mike Vandermouse.
All thought that we were going to keep Brian Brome.
That's correct. They did.
Okay, these people get paid. They get paid. That's all I have to say about that.
And we don't.
We do not get paid.
We don't get paid.
I do want to give a shout out to Oppie and everybody who's donated. You guys are awesome.
This is beautiful. Thank you.
You're awesome. Not just the audio board, but like
everybody.
Dude, the donations have been awesome. You guys are awesome.
It is true.
But still, we don't get paid.
No, that's right. We get enough to keep ourselves afloat.
So these guys got paid, okay?
Right.
And while you're working in New York City,
okay,
you're writing a 53 roster, and you had three guys off of it. And all the three guys were all like fourth and fifth string.
Yeah, pretty much. But I just can't believe they didn't keep Joe Porter, especially over Underwood. I mean, all right, we'll get into that later. But moving onto the injury front, we did touch on B.J. Raji. Will he play? Won't he? Like I said, we'll ask Tom later. Will Blackman? Still no word. And here's the problem with doing our show on Tuesday nights. Of course, the injury reports start Wednesdays.
Right.
So we'll always be in the dark when it comes to injuries.
Although I like doing Tuesday nights because then I can get the podcast out.
And plus it's right after Monday night.
It's right after. Everybody's got the emotion.
Plus it's the player's day off. So hopefully one or two will be able to join us.
One day.
Someday.
One day.
Now that it's in season.
Now that it's in season, their agents are like,
forget it.
Not so much.
Not those losers.
They have to make millions of dollars. They don't have time for you.
Exactly. But anyway, Will Blackman, we don't know. He hasn't played/practiced in quite a while. So it'll be interesting to see if he's on the injury report tomorrow. I'm sure he will be, but the severity of which. And then if he's healthy enough, is he active? Is he returning kicks? Is he a corner? Who's going to be the corner? Who's going to be the dimeback? I mean, I know we bring in a safety, but people, please, Will Blackman, tell me something. Anything. He's been the mystery guy, him and Rouse. And then Brandon Jackson hurt the ankle. Apparently he was at practice watching the other day, but still no running.
I still think Brandon Jackson, by the end of the season, could be competing for Ryan Grant.
Really?
For his job.
Really?
For his job.
Well, we'll see a clip a little later that will support Mr. Banky's position.
It's time. It's time for Brandon Jackson. If he gets healthy, it's time. It's ready.
You know what?
I think he's a better, I think he's a better catcher. I think he's a better run catcher.
That's true.
And in the West Coast offense, it's one of the things that I think this offense has not brought a lot of.
Yeah, no, it's the backside of the backfield.
Backfield. I mean, you know, it's checkdowns, which is some of Rodgers. He, instead of taking the checkdowns, we've
talked about it.
We've talked about
we've
it before.
Talked about that.
But, you know, also, I don't think Ryan Grant is, I think he's gotten significantly better, especially at the end of the season. You see some, he runs some pretty cool screens.
Yes, he did.
Some pretty nice stuff. And his hands are better, but it's almost like he had to get the offense down before he could start catching balls.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, when you've got less than 20 receptions as a starting halfback in the West Coast offense, which Grant did last year, that's a cause for concern.
Yeah, and the other thing is, when we used to play Grant, we wouldn't play him on third down because he couldn't protect.
Right.
And that's a no-no. I mean, seriously, Amon Green was at his best when he could be in every down. Every down. Because if you're in every down,
yeah, but I don't know. Come on. Amon Green also got spelled quite a bit by Davenport and Tony Fisher.
It's true. You
know? So, I mean, that helped.
He did, but he could play every down.
He could play every down. Yes, he could. And this is something interesting.
We don't have a running back who can play every down.
I think Grant's close to that.
No.
Well, this is interesting. Wait. I'll be bringing up Amon Green. If you look at Brandon Jackson and his progression as a pro, he's pretty close to where Amon Green was at this point in his career. Like, Amon Green was on the bench for a while in Seattle, then he got traded, and he wasn't the man right away when he came to Green Bay.
He had to mature
into that job. And Brandon Jackson, and he's a very similar body type.
Yeah, the only thing is, I don't know if Jackson has the guns, the burners. Like he has the elusivity. He's more than a one cut back. He's definitely more than one cut back. But I mean, you know,
I mean Amon Green in his prime was ridiculous.
Oh my god,
he was ridiculous.
He's probably after 1960, he's one of the most explosive backs the Packers have ever had.
Yeah,
granted,
I hear that.
We could have had Barry Sanders, but
we had to take Tony Manning.
I digress.
And then something else we'll talk to Tom about: Nick Barnett, Mike McCarthy, very cagey. Very cagey about will he start? I think he will. How much is he going to play? I think it's pretty obvious that he's going to be limited initially.
His
first couple games.
Yeah.
Especially this first game. McCarthy talked about it. And I think we have a video clip of McCarthy talking about it. McCarthy, his press conference, I believe, yesterday, talking about Nick Barnett.
Well, I mean, I think Nick will definitely play in the game. What packages and so forth that he'll play in. I mean, we'll find out Sunday night. But I thought he looked good in the Tennessee game. I thought he flew around. He was active like he always is. You know, but we have to be, you know, smart with Nick, and you got to put Clay in the same category. I mean, they played 25 plays this past week, and you know, it's a long year, so we factor that into our decision making as far as our game planning.
Excellent poll by Mr. Caravu on the live blog asking who we think Cheesehead Nation thinks will start at the Mac linebacker on Sunday night.
Mm.
And right now, Nick Barnett is at 67%, and I got to agree.
What are the other choices?
Brandon Chiller.
I'm still not well versed on what. Like, there's four now. So
right. there's a lot to keep track of.
There's one extra. I can't count one more.
Yeah, speaking of linebackers, A.J. Hawk. Demotion. How else can you say it? He's in the base, and that's it. I mean, yikes. I mean, fifth overall pick to I'm in on the base.
Mm.
And that's it.
I got something to say about fifth overall pick.
Oh, boy. What's
Justin
that?
Harrell.
Oh, no. That's
Come on.
It. We don't want to talk about him. We're not going to talk about it. He's on IR.
Justin Harrell.
He's on IR. We don't want to talk about it.
Okay. Wait.
I've forgotten about it.
Wait.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Wait. The season hasn't started. So let's just do a little Ted Thompson first round draft picks for. Let's do a little recap. Right.
Okay.
Do we have one that's any good?
Of whose draft picks?
Ted Thompson's.
You want to say that again?
Okay. Just Packer draft picks in the last.
No. But Ted Thompson, he picked a guy named Aaron Rodgers who's pretty good.
Okay. And then after that.
You got me. DJ Raji looks good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but come on. What about Ron Wolf? He picked T-Buck and Michaels and all sorts of horrible guys.
Terrell Buckley was better than Justin Harrell.
Yeah, well, of course he was, because he was healthy.
Look, that's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
That's all you're saying. And I will say that T-Buck was horrible when he was with the Packers.
He was horrible.
And then he got better.
But he did get better.
Yeah, later on.
Do you think
maybe Justin Harrell will get better?
Maybe he will.
With someone else.
But, you know, it's the whole three-year thing. Like, this is his third year, and he's
and
not
hey, okay,
play.
let's end this segment on some happy news. Greg Jennings is good to go.
Greg Jennings.
And he had a little something to say to the reporters. This is great. I love how he answered this question. I think this is actually Bedard asking Jennings about his availability on Sunday night.
I don't know. Let me think about it. We'll see. Who knows? Yes. I'm joking.
Are you still concussed?
No. You know, and that's been the line for the past week. You know, anything I do is like, Greg, you all right? Are you concussed?
You need to get checked again.
I'm good. As long as the coaches let me play, I think I'm going. You know?
And that's Greg Jennings. And Mr. Jennings, can I just say, that is a fine hat you have there. So now let's see this. Who are the last two people that got contracts from Thompson? Greg Jennings and Aaron Rodgers, and both of them wear my hats. I feel pretty darn good about my hat collection right now, even though Packer Nation likes to make fun of it.
I have no problem with your hat.
I know. I like your hat. by the way.
But not, I like it too, but we can't mention it.
Nope.
They were a sponsor once.
They were a sponsor one time.
But they got a
pony up.
They got it's
get
time,
another mention.
It's time to sign the check.
All right, we're gonna take a break, people. When we come back, Tom Pelissero, assistant sports editor with the Green Bay Press Gazette, will be joining us live here on Packer Transplants. And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Technical difficulties always follow Mr. Tom Pelissero when he's involved with Cheesehead Nation. We can't be sure how or where we were when things happened, so we'll start again. Tom, Anthony Smith, you were saying he played tight. You heard rumblings, or you didn't hear rumblings, about his attitude. Kind of pick up where you left off. I'm sure we'll grab what you had before, but kind of pick up where you were, Anthony Smith, behind the scenes.
Yeah, I heard nothing about his attitude. I didn't hear that that was a factor. Now, he's a guy who's always taken a lot of chances. They didn't see that as much here as they did going back to the film at Pittsburgh. They didn't feel like that was as much of an issue, but certainly right. That's part of his game is taking some gambles out there. But really the concern about the fact that he looked like he was tight, he looked stiff, and he wasn't moving as well sideline to sideline as they had hoped, that was a factor.
Right. And what about Pat Lee, sticking with the defensive secondary? You know, he's on IR, and you mentioned that he refused all interview requests. Why Lee, I guess, to the IR rather than Underwood, who I guess was hurt as well? I mean, I know it wasn't as significant an injury. But for a guy like Pat Lee, your second-round pick, who, I don't know, I guess you would think would be giving you more at this point in his career. What was the nod to Underwood over Lee about, really?
The nod to Lee, quite frankly, and although Pat did turn down all interview requests, I had a chance to talk to him off the record. And put it this way, there was not an option to keep Pat Lee on the active roster. They went with Underwood because he had a stinger and he was going to be ready to come back
right.
This week. Pat Lee was not going to be ready this week, not a chance.
All right, well, that makes sense then. And, of course, everybody's favorite whipping boy, Brian Brohm, you know, he said he was angry for a day. How was his demeanor? Do you think he's back next year, or will they draft someone and let him
That's
go?
That's a really good question. I think that they're definitely giving him, you know, the option to work through the difficulties that he's had. And the fact that he did come around a little bit in the last couple of games, really, though, from Brohm's perspective, too, he's in a situation where he wasn't going to go somewhere else. Because if he went somewhere else and didn't pick up the scheme quickly, which would be really difficult, getting scout team reps only, he could then end up running the risk of getting cut again,
right.
Doing even more harm to a reputation that's really taken a hit over the past 18 months here.
Sure.
And because he's now on the practice squad, if he spends all 17 weeks on the practice squad this year, he could sign a free agent contract with anybody he wants after the season and sign a futures deal. So, you know, he has options out there, too. It's going to be a lot easier for him to come up with a contract and go somewhere and learn a full scheme, wherever that may be,
right.
Later on. You know, cause he says, the bottom line is he says that he's comfortable in the scheme that's part of staying here. Well, he hasn't played all that well in the scheme, but just the fact that he wouldn't be able to learn if that's a factor.
Right. Well, your colleague Rob Domofsky wrote about A.J. Hawk and, you know, his kind of, I guess, his demotion to the base defense only. You know, Nick Barnett's situation makes this really interesting in that, do you see, I mean, Barnett is obviously going to be limited on Sunday night. I mean, I don't care what they say. That's obviously going to be the play. But do you think Hawk comes in when they plan on taking Barnett out, or do they go with Desmond Bishop there?
My best guess is that you're not going to see Bishop in any of the sub-packages. Now, that's just based on, you know, gut instinct to an extent, but also based on those guys' skill sets. I think that, you know, if Barnett comes off the field, I would think it would be in the nickel and perhaps the dime. I think you'll see Chiller out there in both the nickel and the dime. But Barnett eventually would be the guy. I mean, if he were fully healthy and they fully trusted that his knee were healthy,
right.
He'd be out there in base nickel and dime. He would be that one linebacker. So I think it's going to be the combination of Chiller and you'd think Barnett would be probably the first guy to take on all the nickel as well. And then Chiller would probably take the dime, but they really haven't even used the dime all that much.
Right. Going back to the offensive side of the ball for a second, the three fullbacks being kept obviously were a major surprise. Do you see all three being active on game day? Is that possible? Do you really think they'll do that?
I wouldn't even be surprised if they did it in week one, to be perfectly honest. Now, it may not be the likely scenario, but you kept the three guys not because of being able to play fullback, but because of special teams. And they want to be able to test Quinn Johnson a little bit on special teams. And also, I think that you could see them use him in short yardage roles, goal line roles, because that's where he can just run straight ahead and hit somebody, which is the one thing that he's equipped to do right now. They'll have two fullbacks up every week, and yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all if they went three.
Well, that I guess it's just shocking to us. I mean, I tweeted before the show, and I can't really get a straight answer, but I don't think anybody's ever kept three fullbacks, at least in the modern era. I mean, I know it's, there's no team in the NFL that has done it that I can remember. I mean, so I just found it very interesting, and I think that's why most people thought they would at least cut one of them.
And there's a lot of teams out there right now that don't even, you know, keep two fullbacks or don't have more than one active on game day because teams don't use the base, you know, halfback, fullback, two wides, and a tight end. Most teams do not use that as their base offense at this point. That was also a factor. You know, I asked one scout, is there any market? Is there any chance you could trade these guys for anything? And he said, no, because there's a ton of fullbacks because every college team uses a fullback.
Right.
NFL teams don't, so nobody needs one.
Right. But, you know, going a little bit bigger picture here, looking at the division overall, who do you think in the North has improved the most? I mean, we're so obviously diehard fans are so blinded and have blinders on when it comes to reading about the pack and being involved in the Packers. We see the big headlines, but do you see anyone else in the North that has made, you know, more significant improvement than the Packers have? And because, you know, it's obvious we know about the defensive scheme change and we know about, you know, the guys we drafted like Raji and Matthews and things like that. But other than the headlines like bringing in Cutler and Favre signing with Minnesota, do you think we're not even going to put the Lions in the conversation, obviously, but I mean, do you think that the Vikings and the Bears have improved enough to stay on top of the Packers, or have the Packers pulled even with the rest of the teams in the division?
Well, first of all, I think the Lions probably will qualify in the end as the most improved team in the division just because they sucked so bad last year. There's no way they're not going to be marginally better this year. You know, if you're looking for a team that's going to improve their win total the most, I'd say it's them or the Packers.
I hope so for Schwartz's sake.
Yeah. You know, the Vikings with Favre, for me, it remains to be seen how improved they are. You know, obviously adding a quarterback who has, you know, been through the wars, so to speak. That's what they like about him. It's not that he has a better skill set than Tarvaris Jackson. It's not any of that. It's the fact that they think that he's a guy who can win games for them late in the season. We'll see how it works out. They obviously added Percy Harvin. They added a new right tackle. Right. But they lost people. They lost Matt Burke. Their
Absolutely.
Defense isn't getting any younger. You take Sharper off that team. I wonder. I'm not really sure that the Vikings did get better in this offseason if you take their offseason as a whole. The Bears, just by virtue of bringing in Jay Cutler, I think do make an improvement. But still, you know, anywhere else on the ball, look at their secondary right now. They're going to start probably two guys who have never started an NFL game at safety. They might be starting their third and fourth corners against the Packers on Sunday night.
Yep.
You know, I have big question marks. And then also, who's Cutler going to throw to? You can't throw to the tight end 35 times a game. And beyond that, you know, is Earl Bennett really going to put up five catches a game? I don't know, and I still don't like the move of moving Hester to receiver. I think that took away.
But haven't you heard he's a true number one now? Come on, Tom, aren't you on board?
And you eliminated the most dynamic playmaker in the game from being able to concentrate on the thing that he can do that no one else in the NFL could do. I'll never quite get that.
I couldn't agree more in that respect. Looking at the Bear game on Sunday night, I can't believe I'm saying that. I can't believe we have actual Packer football coming up on Sunday night. Do you expect a kind of a repeat of what we saw at Lambeau last year? Maybe not so much with the score. I mean, it got away from the Bears there, obviously. But do you think, you know, that the Bears, especially with what you're talking about with the secondary, I wrote about it today. I mean, they're going to have to protect that secondary at all costs. And I see like a big, you know, a rushing attack from the Packers. Do you think that's how McCarthy will attack it initially? Or do you think he'll come out with his, you know, 3-4 wide and throw the ball over the yard?
If you look at every single preseason game, they came out in two tights, and they played two tights pretty extensively. I think that that's, you know, based on that, I would think that that's how they're going to attack the Bears. You know, with the defense the Bears play, you would think that, you know, potentially you're going to have those usual corners like you do against any other cover two team. You know, Urlacher made a play up here last year. It was about the only play they made.
right.
I think they're going to go right after him. The thing with, you know, comparing it to last year's opener, you know, I think that was such a sloppy game, and I think that there was, you know, so much to get over. I'm sure you're referring to the two Bears games last year. But even if you look back at that opener last year, remember what a complete slop fest that was? It was a big win for the Packers at the time. But
that
was just
drive is just miserable to watch.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that you're going to see both teams really open it up here. You know, it's September. This is not, you know, there's always the cliches that the coaches throw around about it's, you know, NFC North football, it's bangheads football. I think you're going to see two teams. They're going to air it out. Why not?
Yeah, I got to agree. And I will only point out to those watching and listening at home that Tony Mall started that game at guard, that one we were talking about where it was sloppy and horrible. And he was responsible for about three penalties that put the Packers back like 50 yards. So I don't plan on seeing a repeat of that on Sunday night. Tom, you're a real sport for joining us. Sorry about the hiccup there, as we always seem to have.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for joining us. You're welcome anytime. Green Bay Press Gazette, check it out, ladies and gentlemen. Tom's stuff is A+. His Twitter account is a must for any Packer fan. Tom, thanks so much for joining us.
Anytime, fellas.
Have a good night. Ladies and gentlemen, Tom Pelissero in the house. But when we come back, we'll be talking to Brian Caravu. It'll be Brian versus Corey, mano a mano, about a lot of things. All right, we'll see when we get back. Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. And on the line with us is Brian Caravu from Railbird Central, partner here at Cheesehead Nation. How are you, Brian?
Thanks, guys. I'm doing well. I'm ready to talk some special teams.
Special teams? Don't sound so excited.
Special teams. No. We're not talking about special teams.
Yes,
Brian.
We are. Yes, we're going to start with special
teams.
And then we'll segue into Corey versus
Brian. Is going on? I'm not,
Yes. Okay. We're talking special teams.
Okay, fine.
But you know what? We just saw an animation about the Packer blogosphere, and I have to give a shout out. I'm very, very apologetic because I forgot to do it in the intro. Chris from Old Bag of Donuts is in the house. On the live blog, Chris, you are a legend already. You guys haven't even been up for a year. Man among men, great poster. The whole site is fantastic, everybody.
I
highly recommend it.
A year?
I don't think they've been up
for
a
year. No, it's been like 5 months,
I think. Like that.
Yeah, I remember getting an email, and he's like, yo, check out my thing. They had like 5 posts. You know what? I get a lot of those emails, but I went to Old Bag of Donuts. I went to Old Bag of Donuts the very first time I went. Knew it was a quality blog.
Absolutely. And you emailed me and said, check out this quality blog.
You know,
and I agreed.
You know what a quality blog is when you see it.
Absolutely. So Brian Caravu is on the line. Brian, special teams, take it away.
Well, three big things happened this week. Number one, the acquisition of Derek Martin. Number two, keeping Brett Swain over Ruvell Martin. And three fullbacks on the roster. So these are kind of all big developments in special teams. So
all right, let's break those down one by one here. Now, Martin, have you ever seen this guy play on the Ravens? Possibly on the Ravens, like any Ravens game. Have you ever noted him?
I may have seen him, but I never noticed him.
All right.
Per Tom Silverstein's article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today, he's pretty much on every special teams unit except for extra point or field goals.
Right.
So,
okay.
He's played kickoff, kickoff return, punt return, and kick block. So it's very possible that he'll be playing on Sunday against the Bears.
That's what it sounds like, especially that article definitely made it sound like that. Obviously, I don't think they're going to play him from scrimmage anytime soon. But I think they did say that he's more safety than corner at this point. Is that right?
That's what I'm gathering. It'll be really interesting whether they decide to keep him active over Aaron Rouse on Sunday. I mean, you got to figure that one of those two guys will be a game day inactive. So
I think Rouse is the inactive easily.
Yeah. Well, then if Atari Bigby gets hurt, he'd have to play in the base almost, unless you're going to put Jared Bush in there.
Well, you're going to put Jared Bush in there because he's been with the team since June or May or March. You know, he's been in there all offseason. There's no way on God's green earth they're putting Martin in at safety.
He's been with the team since 2007.
Exactly. Well, I'm just saying about Caper's scheme. You know, he's been there and learning it.
You know how I know that?
How's that?
Because he doesn't fall on the ball.
Oh, goodness. Okay, back to special teams. We're staying on point here. Brett Swain over Ruvell Martin. I got to say, I can't say I saw this coming, but it does make a ton of sense when you consider his upside, even just at the receiver position. But the fact that he seems to be so athletic and they threw him out there at defensive back and he was returning kicks, you got to say you like him. Is he playing coverage as well and return? Is he like on the line there or is he just a returner?
Swain appears to be on the coverage teams on on punt and kickoff. Well, we saw, I think it was the second preseason game, we saw him get the big hit there and interference.
Right.
Ruvell Martin really kind of maybe dug his own grave with his special teams play over the course of the preseason when he kind of had a little troubles as the place kick holder, and then again the very last game on punt returns when he fumbled a punt.
Right. Well, I mean, but how much of that had he done? I mean, had Martin been running with either of those units before? I mean, I know he was the emergency holder.
Very true, but Brett Swain did stick out, though, and I guess that's what helped him as compared to Ruvell Martin.
Okay, and then the three fullbacks. We know Kuhn and Hall play special teams. That's not a question. What about Quinn Johnson? Has he been? I don't pay attention to this stuff, and I know you do. Does Quinn Johnson play special teams? How much does he play? Will he play on Sunday? Do you think he'll be active on Sunday?
Yes, Bill Huber of Packer Report, I think, reported today that all three fullbacks are on the first string kickoff return team, which is amazing. I don't know how you can keep three fullbacks active on game day, let alone three fullbacks active on your 53-man roster. That just really baffles me.
Well, apparently, you know, they probably, you know, they like their athleticism. The guys aren't, like, big bruisers. I mean, Quinn Johnson's a beast, but he's athletic. He's an athletic beast. So, you know, maybe that's what they see, you know, but rather than at other positions. And they kept nine linebackers. They kept three fullbacks. They want guys who can run and knock somebody out. You know, we saw a great deficiency on special teams everywhere last year, and it cost us games. So, you know, you got to trust that these guys are big, fast, and nasty, and that's why they're there, especially for special teams.
Yeah, I mean, the saying is that you always keep the 53 best guys, regardless of position, on the team.
Right.
But boy, oh boy, I still go back to the draft, and, you know, I have nothing against Quinn Johnson, but I think the drafting...
You've hated Quinn Johnson from the moment he was drafted!
I am nothing against Quinn Johnson. I think the pick was poor because I don't think the Packers had a need at fullback. I would love to go back to April right now and use that fourth round draft choice on some other position and be just fine with Corey Hall and John Kuhn right now.
I hear you. That's a good point. That's a very good point. But as we know, you can't go back, and we are where we are. Corey Banky.
I'm ready for some, you know what I'm ready for? I'm ready for some three fullback sets.
Yeah, well, who's to say? Maybe we go to like a wing T with
there
three
you go.
Fullbacks back there.
Everybody's doing Wildcat. We're doing something totally different.
Like as Dave just wrote, you know, a fullback led the league in rushing in 55.
Hey, you know what I'm ready for?
What's that?
I'm ready for Jumbo. Instead of an O-lineman extra, it's a fullback extra.
There we go.
You got Quinn Johnson, and he's Kevin Barry.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying?
So
Jumbo
is possible.
Let
All right,
me get some Jumbo.
But wait a second.
I want some Jumbo.
Corey wanted to talk to Brian about his post, about it being a mistake. So
I just
have at it, ladies and gentlemen.
I can't believe that Brian Caravu actually said Mike McCarthy made a mistake. And Ted Thompson.
I mean, thank goodness Cheesehead Nation agrees with me. If you take a look at our poll results here, a majority of people...
That's not fair! No, I'm kidding. That's very fair.
Go ahead, Brian.
Majority of Cheesehead Nation, although the Sutton is very... It's almost a 50-50 split, but the majority of people agree that they made the mistake in cutting Sutton and Smith.
So who do you think they... So you think they should have done what? So how do you... So, okay... If you're the coach, how do you keep Sutton and Smith? Who do you get rid of?
Well, I think Aaron Rouse should have been gone at safety.
Agreed.
He should have been cut or put on perhaps IR. I mean, I don't know the severity of his injury, but you just can't deny what he did in preseason action with his two interceptions and a sack, and he put it all together in games.
Okay, so who else? How do you keep Sutton?
You get rid of one of the fullbacks. You make that trade for John Kuhn, or you bite the bullet and cut one of them.
You'd have to cut them. It's like Pelissero just said. I mean, there's no market for a fullback. You know, teams are lucky if they keep one at this point in the NFL. So, yeah, it would be a hard cut, but I agree. I thought they would. I thought they cut Kuhn in the end. But
I mean, I can see how the Sutton thing made some people upset.
But here's the
you
thing.
Switch Anthony Smith with Derek Martin, and boom, there you go. If Derek Martin is a better player this year than Anthony Smith, Ted Thompson made the right decision.
Well, yeah, on special teams, because I don't think we're going to see much of Martin from scrimmage. But the thing is, look at Sutton. I mean, the Sutton thing, Brian.
What do you mean we're not going to see him? We're not going to see him in the safety spot this year?
I hope not, because if we do, that means that Collins or Bigby are out. I mean, that's just my thought. I mean, I really hope I don't see
it. I mean,
maybe down the line.
Somebody's got to play the dime.
Right.
Well, I mean, I hear you. I mean, the kid's from Baltimore. I mean, I hope he gets on the field. I'm sorry. He comes from, like, one of the best defenses in the NFL. I hope he plays safety.
I hear you. I hear you. I definitely hope he's there instead of Rouse. That's for sure. In his bad angles. But the thing with Sutton, Brian, it's interesting because Carolina's the only team that put a claim in on him. However, Carolina has three really good backs. They have three good backs, and they claim Sutton as their fourth. So I someone out there agrees with you, Brian. That's all I'm trying to say.
Oh, I agree with Brian. I'm shocked about the whole mistake. It's just
Brian, if you haven't noticed, Corey's like really taken aback by that post.
Mistake. He put mistake. I just couldn't believe he put that. You know, normally Brian's the kind of guy is like, oh, let's wait and see. You know, wait and see what happened. You know, but when you put all your eggs in one basket and you say we're going to keep four running backs and then we don't, I guess
you got to step up. Well, and Brian certainly has.
Corey, I'm going to put something on the live blog here right now about the four fullbacks or the four halfbacks. So
there you go.
That picture's for me.
Very nice.
Nice.
Oh, the dead. That's unfortunate.
Aaron's had to do that quite a bit.
Quite a bit.
I don't write enough, so
yeah. Corey just posts video, so he doesn't have to defend himself.
I just talk, and then I'll say I have to eat crow on camera.
That's true.
I do it all the time, though.
It is true. Okay, Brian, predictions. Sunday night, what's going to happen?
Sunday night, the Packers are going to win 31-28.
Oh, nice.
We're going to give up 28 points?
Ouch.
Are those all Cutler TDs? Cutler passes for TDs? 28 points?
That is 14 safeties.
Oh, perfect, perfect. All right, thanks so much for joining us, Brian. I think 14 safeties. I'm gonna make that my ringtone because that is brilliant.
Brian Urlacher's gonna have seven of them.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, thanks so much for joining us, Brian. We'll see you on the live blog in just a moment.
Thanks, guys.
14 safeties. You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Oh my goodness, 28 points. We better not give up 28 points to the Bears. I'll be really pissed.
The Bears have no offense.
Well, they do now. Cutler's no joke. He's a talented quarterback.
I'm listening to Pelissero. Who's he going to throw to?
Greg Olsen?
Yeah. 35 times?
No. They'll throw to him just enough to make it open up for
Forte. You know they're going to spy Greg Olsen.
Well, of course. They're going to double him. They're going to do what they have to do. But they got Forte out of the backfield.
Yeah, but come on. Seriously?
That's her defense. Come on, seriously.
It needs to be. I want to see some Clay Matthews III. I want to see some CM3 on Greg Olsen.
No, I like that. I like that.
How do you feel about that?
I love it. I love it.
Well,
I want some mix and match.
What about some Brandon Chiller?
I like that a lot. And I think I agree with Tom again about I think Brandon Chiller will see a whole ton of time in the dime and the nickel. I think he'll basically be, you know, sub Nick Barnett. He'll be like Nick Barnett's alter ego for this game, because I think they'll play Barnett maybe 20, 25 snaps like they did in the preseason game, maybe 30, 35, but that'll be it. And I think you'll see a whole lot more Chiller than you do Barnett.
Oh, yeah.
Switching over to the offensive side. Everyone, if you saw today, I posted a couple videos that I cut up myself. I'm sure they've been taken down now by someone in the NFL. I have another one I wanted to show you that I didn't put up. I didn't have the time at work to put it up. But we have a Brandon Jackson highlight. Just because someone on the live blog last week, and someone had mentioned how I don't have any love for Brandon Jackson. I've got nothing but love for Brandon Jackson. And as Corey said, there's a chance he could take over Grant's job this year. I don't see that happening per se, but But I just want to show you what Brandon Jackson can do in relation to the kind of play I posted today, the counter pitch. This is a very similar play where Brandon does something that Grant doesn't do in his play, where he presses the hole.
Are we doing B-jacks or counter
B-jacks,
pitch?
B-jacks.
Got it.
Just watch this play. Last year against Carolina. This is Brandon Jackson will start to the right. He will press the hole in a way that Grant does not, and then see the backside cut and take it. Press it, and then boom. And there's Aaron Rodgers really trying to just get in the way.
He got 4 yards because of Rodgers.
Exactly. Hey, Rodgers did a great job. But now let's play the play I put up today. I'm sorry for the editing on this. I'm new to this, so you'll have to forgive
me. It's a little small.
It's very small,
so
kind of squint your eyes. But you'll see. Oh, that's the old one. There we go. And this is what I put up today. I promise this will get better. But you see how Grant makes the cut right away? He takes his two steps, which he's told to do, and that gets the linebackers flowing. But then he doesn't press the hole. He doesn't press where he wants people to think he's going to go. It's the patience thing, and that's what we were talking about, Amon Green. Amon had the most amazing patience, and that's why he was such a good counter runner. When he would do counters, and that was a real staple in Sherman's offense, he was so great at just biding his time behind his offensive line, the pulling guys. You know, he would press the hole, wait, and then cut, and he was gone. And that's the thing that Jackson does that Grant does not.
Well,
at least
and to,
up
Grant's,
until this point.
To Grant's credit, he had not a very good O-line last year. And I don't care what anybody says. He didn't have a good O-line last year. We went 6-10.
Oh, Corey has spoken. Oh, my goodness.
We didn't have a good O-line. I'm so sick of people like being like, oh, statistical analysis. You know what? I got a statistical analysis.
Wait a second.
6-10.
The first segment, you were talking about how statistical analysis was backing you up.
You know what? Do I need to get Vince off the wall?
Oh, please don't.
The only thing that matters is winning. Come on. I winning can't. Isn't everything. It's the only thing.
It's the only thing.
Thank you.
I hear you.
And scene.
And scene indeed. Yeah, I guess how can I argue with that? That's very true.
You can't.
No, I you're right. I can't.
I think answer me this, Batman. Riddle me this.
All right. I'm listening.
Who do you
I'm checking my notes and I'm listening.
What position was most responsible for the Packers going 6-10 last year?
That's a very good question.
Position. I know you can list them. Like if you had to do like a, you know what, what's
position,
it?
Position group?
A high fidelity top 10 list.
Well, I'd start with the defensive line.
Yes.
And then I go, oh, that's a good question. And then I go probably offensive line, and then I go punter. Those are my top three. Hey, so, I'm not joking about the punter.
Hey, I'm not joking either. I just
how many
I
field
would,
position
I would
battles
agree, I would
did
just,
we lose?
I would agree. I would just switch them. I would switch
you
one
put,
and two.
You put O-line on top?
Yeah.
All right, I put defensive line on top.
It's just pathetic.
We scored enough points.
It's pathetic when the Green Bay Packers have a terrible offensive line. It's pathetic. It's one of those things. It's like a signature.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I hear you.
Like when you think about the Green Bay Packers,
I know you think, hey,
over history, over
I picked
time.
Up Vince
you think
Lombardi's
about a quarterback sneak in the freaking ice bowl. Okay.
Right.
And why did Bart Starr get that freaking 1 yard? Because of his offensive line. Thank you very much. They moved everybody.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
That's what
they
we do
did
here.
A great job.
That's what we do.
That's what we used to do.
Yeah. And you know, even in the hated Mike Sherman era.
Right. Well, Jumbo. Let me say this. Alan Barber and Josh Sitton are no joke on that right side of the offensive line.
We'll see.
And I think you're going to see a whole lot more power coming out of that side of the line this year.
I'm excited. I want to see Jumbo. I want to see three fullbacks.
Three fullbacks. Well, hey, play that counter pitch again.
Play
counter pitch again. Let me show you something. Brian something.
If you have three fullbacks, you might as well use them.
Brian, in this play, there are two fullbacks already on the field. All right? What's to say you can't have one more?
Why couldn't you
There's
have one more?
There's nothing wrong with that. Split one out. That's what I'm talking about.
What if you put a fullback?
Wildcat, three fullbacks.
What if you put a fullback instead of a tight end?
Exactly. And I think that's their thinking. You're mixing and matching. Here's the other thing. When you've got three fullbacks on your roster, and you're mixing them in and out.
And Corey Hall can catch out of the backfield.
And he can. Hall and Kuhn, too. Kuhn's got some hands. But here's the thing. When you're an opposing defensive coordinator, and you're trying to keep track of three fullbacks and what they can do, and what each guy subbing in and out means on offense, that's a nightmare. I mean, you're trying to think, okay, this guy's the pass catcher, but that guy is really good at blocking. This guy does.
Yeah,
this.
Although it's not as much of a nightmare as if you put your Michael Finley in and he just takes over.
Well, that's my point. Why not? That's it. You've got two tight ends that can, you know, block and catch. I mean, Finley is the more athletic of the two, but now you've got two guys. Finley's blocking. has improved exponentially.
And it's going to get better.
You got to assume that, especially the work we've seen so far in preseason. I got to say, I love me some JerMichael. He's been on the show, friend of the site. But I'm shocked at how well he's played in preseason.
I am too, considering he was a junior when he was taken.
Exactly.
And, when JerMichael comes on, we don't have technical difficulties.
That's true. Only when Tom Pelissero comes on do we have technical difficulties.
It's true.
And Wayne Larrabee, but we're not going to talk about that.
No.
You're going to want to DVR the game on Sunday night because it's going to be better than Cats. And you're going to watch it again and again and again.
I hope so.
I like that. I like that. Fun with fullbacks, Aaron. You got that right. It is fun with fullbacks.
It's got to be fun with fullbacks. It's the only choice there is.
Oh, Rupert. Yes, you're absolutely right. And although it won't be technically the Big Five. His question is, in the Big Five, do we line up Finley where Ruvell was? By McCarthy's definition in 2007, Big Five is five wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be wide receivers. So if you see Swain on the field with all the other guys, that's the Big Five. We got to come up with some other name and submit it to McCarthy for
four
wide receivers and Finley on the field.
Four TE.
I guess it could be, we'll call it Big Five A if Finley split out. But if he's on the line, then no. Not even
what
close.
If it's bigger five?
What if?
Because that's really what it is. It's bigger five.
Oppie says, let's call it the swollen package.
I bet JerMichael will like that.
Yeah, I'm sure he will.
Maybe we should ask JerMichael on his Twitter feed.
We should.
Everyone should ask him, what should we call that?
Jersey Al says, Big Five is three fullbacks and two tight ends.
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about.
It is. That's Big Five. That's like bigger than Jumbo in a lot of ways.
Oh, Brian. Brian puts up a good one.
That's like huge Jumbo.
Try to come up with eight game day inactives. It's a near impossible exercise. Well, I don't think it's that impossible. I mean, I know. Let me sit down with it, and I'll come up with it after the show, because I can't do it right now, because I'm drunk. No, I'm not.
No, you're not.
Give me a drink.
No, you're not drunk.
Nope, not yet.
Not yet.
I'm working on it. Question, is anyone worried about Rodgers getting hurt against the Bears and then Flynn getting hurt in the third quarter? We have no TJ Rubley to come in. Who comes in at that point? Let me tell you, CD. I'll tell you who comes in. BJ Raji at quarterback. Mm. That's who's going to come in.
That would actually be exciting.
That would be beyond exciting. It's interesting because Ruvell was the emergency quarterback and he is gone.
If Aaron Rodgers went out, I would start crying. But then if BJ Raji came back in, he would make me stop crying.
Oh, yeah, you would. You know what I would feel like? I would feel like a Cleveland Brown fan at that point. I'd feel like, wow. Wow. Although, here's something you guys were talking about earlier. I don't believe that Packer fans are clamoring for Jeff Garcia after he got cut by the Oakland Raiders.
Mm.
I can't believe it. I cannot believe it. How do you want this guy on your team? All he does is sit behind guys and grouse about how he's not playing. How do you want that on your team? I'd rather have Gus Frerotte. And you guys know how much I hate Gus Frerotte. I would rather have the Brian Griese than Jeff Garcia.
No.
I don't want any of these guys.
I'd rather have Jeff Garcia.
I'd rather
than
have
Griese.
Jeff George come out of retirement.
Seriously.
Than Jeff Garcia.
No, I would rather have Jeff Garcia than Brian Griese.
The last three comments have all said no Garcia. So yes, thank you.
I mean,
there's
I agree, no Garcia. I just think you went a little far with it. That's all I'm saying.
Andy man, I agree. I think we are fine with Rodgers and Flynn.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. Hey, the guy wants to play. Yes, Jeff George does want to play, so we'll see if he gets a shot.
Jeff George.
Hey, they brought in Brett Favre to Minnesota. Why can't they bring in Jeff George?
Seriously?
Jeff George will back up Brett Favre.
Why do you have to talk about that? Oh, no, I want this.
Oh, why not? Oh, what are you doing? Oh, no.
Well, you talked about it.
Ladies and gentlemen, there he is.
I'm not a traitor. Never will be. I'm not a traitor. Never will be. I'm not a traitor.
Hey, CD just brought him up. Mike Lombardi at the National Football Post earlier this week said the Packers are going to look at Joey Harrington.
Ouch.
And that really wouldn't surprise me if they brought in Joey Harrington, Joey G.
It wouldn't surprise me, but he sucks.
This is true. But if they do bring him in, if they bring in anybody, it'll be after week one, so they don't have to guarantee a salary.
Yeah.
And he'll sit and learn and whatever. But it'd be interesting to see who they cut
if they
bring in Joey Harrington.
Yeah, why would they bring anyone? Because he's got to take a spot.
Exactly. That's why I don't think they do
it. That's not going to happen.
No,
if you're not going to take a spot for Brome, why are you going to take a spot for a has-been?
Although I will say this.
Brome has way more upside than any of the people you just mentioned.
I agree. I totally agree. I've been saying that for the last year.
I'm just saying. He's got upside. People knock him, and he's got upside. The guy played better as the preseason went on.
I hear.
And you know what? Aaron Rodgers sucked his first and second year in the preseason.
That's true.
He sucked.
Yes, he did.
He sucked. People were like, oh, my God. Remember Aaron Rodgers? It was like, I can't believe if Brett Favre goes down, we're screwed. And now we got a really good quarterback. And you know what? Because he had time.
Exactly. Well, that's the thing. I said the other day, I was having a conversation with some friends, and I said the same thing. It's like, look, you can throw guys into the fire, but you're not going to have a Flacco and a Ryan every time.
Poor Joey Harrington. Because
he got thrown in.
He's eggshells.
Yeah.
They threw him in and he's terrible.
He got destroyed.
And you know what? In Aaron, if he would have had the same chance that Aaron Rodgers had, maybe he wouldn't be bad.
Yeah.
And Aaron Rodgers is one of the few people that actually
got to sit.
Has the opportunity to sit for that long.
Yeah. And let the team kind of mature around him, you know. Although, speaking of maturing the team, once again, it came out today, Packers are the youngest team in the NFL for the third year running.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah. Third year running.
That's good. I like that.
Youngest team in the NFL.
I like that.
Just edging out the Colts yet again.
You know what that means? That means upside.
Lots of upside. One of our very first podcasts was all about potential.
Potential.
Right? And we still got tons of potential.
First podcast.
I think it was the very first one. Absolutely.
I don't really want to listen to that. I'm kind of scared.
Please don't. Don't do it.
It's probably better than this one, though, you know, for the technical difficulties.
Probably is. You're absolutely right.
There's one thing
about
going live.
Yeah, it's scary.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's like an event.
As long as we don't ever ask Tom Pelissero back on the program, we're fine. We're gold.
But I like Tom Pelissero because, you know what? It makes Greg Bedard jealous.
Hey, you don't want to go there.
I do.
I'm the one who gets the email.
I do. I like it.
Don't say
it. I like making Greg Bedard jealous. Although, I will say, Tom Pelissero is not going to get his own siren.
No.
Okay?
Greg, you're the only man with a siren here.
Only Greg Bedard is going to get his own siren.
And you know what's funny? I know Greg's watching. Greg, just come on the live blog. Come on. Come on. You know you're there. You know you're watching. Just pop in and say hello.
He got
so
off.
We can sound the siren. We bought a siren just for you.
I am buying a siren. If somebody wants to buy the Greg Bedard siren, I will give you the address. You can send it to us, and I will use it. It'll be really cool.
You know, they've totally stopped paying attention to us.
Yeah, they don't care.
They don't care.
Well, maybe that's a good time to close it up.
I think you're right. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a blast, as always. We're all over the map, and that's the way we like it. Sunday night. Corey, wait, before we go. Predictions.
Oh.
Sunday night.
Oh, I was going to say 16-0. What?
Okay, well, that obviously means you're going to win. We're going to win Sunday night.
14-2.
14. Where do we lose?
Huh?
Where do we lose?
Well, you know we're going to lose Dallas.
Okay.
I hate to say that, but...
In Lambeau again, huh?
If we were in Dallas, we probably would win because of the scoreboard.
Hey, Bedard made a perfect point today. No one points out that U2 is paying the Cowboys to raise the scoreboard for their concert.
But it's not good.
So why not just leave it there?
But they can't do it for the NFL. Even though that's why they built the stadium.
Give me a freaking break.
Even though that's why they built the stadium. No, the Packers are going to beat the Bears. The Bears have... I'm sorry. Jay Cutler is good, but who is he going to throw it to?
All right.
Seriously.
All right.
You know who he's going to throw it to?
Who's that?
Charles Woodson.
There you go. I knew it. I like that.
Charles Woodson is the best receiver on the Bears team. I'll tell you what. He's the best receiver that's going to be on the field when the Bears take the offense on the field.
There you go. You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't think anybody, and no Packer fan could really dispute that.
All right. Here's my prediction for the season and for the game. The season, and I do this every year. You can check the blog. My heart says 12-4. My head says 10-6. There you go. So somewhere between my head and my heart, hopefully the heart wins out.
Yeah. Vegas should never bet on anything I say because I think last year I was like 14-2.
Yeah, I think you were. I think you're 14-2
every
year. I
told my mom that we were going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm the one who says preseason means nothing.
Exactly.
I believe it.
Nah, I believe it too.
But,
Woodson
said we're
going to the Super Bowl. Woodson knows more than we do.
It's the Green Bay Packers. Every year they're going to the Super Bowl.
Exactly. They have to.
That's the way it is.
Even when they have, you know, Bart Starr as coach. They have to be in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's true. When they had Lindy Infante, I didn't think we were going to the Super Bowl. I will say that. But
really?
I was really young.
Even when Magic Man was, like, lighting it up?
Nah, because it was still that thing of, like, you had 20 years of disbelief, you know? It's hard to suspend that.
That's very true. All right, we're meandering. Oh, and prediction for Sunday night, Packers 24, Bears 10. All right, you heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen.
24-10, huh?
24-10, Packers.
How many interceptions?
Two.
Who has them?
Woodson.
Okay.
And Chiller.
Chiller.
Yep. You heard it. You heard it here.
I think Aaron Campman's going to get an interception.
That would be hot.
That would be awesome.
We went through this whole podcast without mentioning his name.
I think Aaron Campman's going to have a tip-up.
You had to bring him up.
Raji's going to tip it, and Aaron's going to grab it. That's going to be it.
Total domination. Oppie summed it up.
There you go.
Good night, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next Tuesday here, Packer Transplants Live, brought to you by Cheesehead Nation.